Welcome to How to Use Foursquare Dancing in Children's Ministry to Better Reach Old Volunteers. No, just kidding. I like to make up a funny title for the people who bought the CD. So if you're listening on CD or MP3, welcome. And no, you're listening to Mutiny. The kids have taken over Children's Church. And I'm so glad that you are here. And I'm glad to be here, and it's a great privilege to get to share with you today my journey in children's ministry to where the kids finally took over Children's Church. And when I would go on vacation, it would be completely run by kids. Now, I would recruit a couple of big people, as I would call them, to just sit in the room and watch. Got to have an adult presence. But the kids would completely run it, and that's very exciting. So let me open up in a word of prayer. God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for these people. Thank you, Lord, that they love kids, and they don't want to just provide a good quality program. They want to provide an experience where kids experience you, where they worship, where they learn, but, Lord, where they're also formed into disciples who know how to serve you so that they will become lifelong servants of yours and disciples of yours. And so that's why we're here. And so, Lord, I pray you give us a great hour here together. In your name we pray, and all God kids said, amen. So this is a workshop I do on developing a kids church crew. I call them my KC crew. And I have to tell you, in 20 years of ministry, this has been the highlight of my ministry. It's the thing that I'm most proud of in all my years of ministry. I don't care about kidology. I don't care about getting to speak at conferences. I don't care about any book or article I've had published. The thing that brings me the greatest joy and the greatest sense of accomplishment are the kids that have been on my kids' crew. Because they are the ones that I have seen. There's a boy right now who's a senior at Moody Bible Institute, and he's going into children's ministry. He's going to become a children's pastor. He just got engaged to a gal named Sarah a few months ago, and that's my wife's name, so that makes it extra special. He found himself a Sarah, and they're going into ministry together. And he was on my kids' crew, and I remember his name's Chip, but I remember when he had a puppet named Chipper that he named it, and we developed puppet characters and personalities and do all that. And just to see these kids get excited about God and go into ministry, and whether they go into ministry professionally, they're going to always be in ministry, even if they just become an awesome volunteer someday. And it's so critical, and it's been so exciting to see. And so we're going to talk about that. Apparently this doesn't work. Okay, it helps if you turn it on. I'm always credited with being this really techie guy, and then I forget to turn stuff on. But why have a kids' crew, all right? Well, there's me as a little boy playing with my toys. And I love toys like every other little kid. There's my windjammer that has a little boy like playing guitar. And there's me with a gospel magician named Carl Taylor when I was a little boy. And he let me open for his shows at church for years when I was little. And I had a great interest in magic. And when I was about 10 years old, an evangelist came to my church. And his name is Barney Kennard. He's from California. Some of you may have heard of him. He has a ministry called Creative Children's Ministries. He's now one of our kidology coaches. But he came. He did this five-day meeting called Barney's Barrel, and I loved it. He did puppets. He did a barnacle ventriloquist doll, but did flannel graph. Hey, it was cutting edge back then. He did, you know, some gospel magic tricks, and I just really felt God working on me that week. And at the end of the week, I told my mom, I want to be like him when I grow up. I want to be a children's evangelist. I didn't know it was a call to ministry, but that's what it was. And so I told my mom, I'm going to minister to kids someday, just like that Barney guy. Now, my mom said, that's wonderful, Carl. I think you'll be great at that. Actually, that's not what she said. A lot of good moms might have said that, but not my mom. Let's rewind. Mom, I want to minister to kids someday. I'm going to be a children's evangelist someday. My mom said, that's great. You start next Wednesday. I said, next Wednesday? Mom, I said, when I grow up, I want to do that. And she said, well, what's growing up got to do with it? If God's called you to children's ministry, you start next Wednesday. Well, what magic tricks do you know? Well, I had one called the zombie ball. And it's a magician trick. You've probably seen magicians do it. They have a magic ball, and they put a cloth over it, and they hold it by the corners, and the ball floats up, and it goes around. And they hold it straight. The ball peeks out. So I wrote a story with my mom's coaching about Sammy the magic ball, and how Sammy had stolen the ball because his mom said no. Well, Sammy wasn't too bright. When he went to school, he had to hide it, and he hid it in the laundry basket really quick when his mom came into the bedroom. And so I had a laundry basket, and when mom was doing laundry, she had this pillowcase that started to levitate, you know, and then the ball appeared, and of course the kids were all amazed in our Awana club, and my verse was, be sure your sin will find you out. But I started doing children's ministry when I was a kid. And of course, I didn't have to go to any conferences to find out what kids liked or what they thought was funny or what they were into, because I just did whatever I liked or whatever I thought was funny or whatever I was into, and that was the birth of kidology, the study of kids. And you heard it, only 20% of adults serve in church, right? And it drives us crazy. We can't get volunteers. Well, I put right at the bottom of your page, but I didn't give you a page to write on, but maybe you've got one. If you would ask 10-year-olds in your church to serve, what percentage of them do you think would respond to the call? All of them. And you know, when the time I got into college, I was teaching children's church at the Moody Church in Chicago, and I had half inner city Cabrini Green project kids and half suburban kids that drove 40 miles to come to church. I had my big red box. One of the chapters in the kids' church handbook is called, the cookbook is called, the boy with the big red box. And I would come in, I would wow them. You know, I was a talented young man, you know, so I had my puppets and my magic and my balloons and everything. But I was a one-man show. And I would come in there and I would just wow the kids, and I could pack a room and everything, and it was all going great. And a woman at the church, just a lay person, no children's ministry background, anything like that, she interviewed me because, you know, the church paper, they do little interest articles about, you know, things going on in the church. And I shared with her my story about how I got into children's ministry, and I was a Moody Bible Institute student. And at the end, you know, she closed her notebook and said, great interview, it'll be a great article, and people will enjoy learning about you. She said, but can I just say something? I said, sure. I'm expecting another great compliment, how talented I was and how good I was with the kids. And so, well, it just occurred to me, the reason you're so good with the kids is you started as a kid. And she said, but you're coming in and doing a one-man show, and you're not repeating in with the kids what happened with you. She didn't use the words reproducing yourself, but that's what she was trying to say. And that part of me thought, well, I'm on Bible college now. I can do that later. But she nailed me. So the next Sunday, I said to the kids, any of you guys want to help me? Every hand went up. So I had to, what I meant to say was, would any of you fifth and sixth graders like to help me? So, you know, most of the hands went down and the fifth and sixth graders' hands stayed up. I honestly didn't think they could, what could they do? They're just kids, you know, they're not as talented as I am. So I said, well, I got a clipboard here. You guys fill out the clipboard and I'll get back to you next week. So my girlfriend, who's my wife now, we went out to lunch, and we had this clipboard full of kids' names who wanted to help. Oh, what can I do? So, they'll be greeters. They'll be ushers. They'll, you know, pass the plates, you know, be little grown-ups, you know. So they did that. So after a couple weeks, you know, they want to do, I'm still doing my one-man show with some little cute ushers and greeters. So I thought, well, there's got to be more they can do. So then I thought, well, I know. I had the kids make these big posters to announce what I was going to do. So I still have these, by the way, because I kind of kept them as a funny reminder. They would kind of walk across the stage, because we didn't have PowerPoint back then. So they would walk across stage, Gus, object lesson, Carl's story time, you know. And then I would do my thing. But little by little, I would figure out, they can do this. They can do puppets. They can do object lessons. They can lead the games. They can do the announcements. And I started asking myself, what am I doing that a kid can do? And little by little, they started doing more and more and more. It's not rocket science. You see, if we train kids to serve and live out their faith as children, I mean, if we don't do that, why do we expect them to do it in the future when they're busier, when they're distracted, and when they're less inclined to do it? We're annoyed that grown-ups just come to church and sit and watch. We train them to do that. If they all just come to church as kids and sit and watch. So they do it. We taught them. That's what church is. It's a place you come and sit and watch. But if we teach them when they're kids that church is the place you come and do and come and serve and come roll up your sleeves and you come and you fold the chairs and you pick up the trash and you plan the lessons, the rest of their life they come to church and go, what can I do? Where can I serve? How can I roll up my sleeves? And it's so powerful. Now remember, if you give me your email, you're going to get this PowerPoint as a PDF, so don't feel like you have to write everything down. So are you a performer or are you a trainer? So your job is to make disciples of kids, not to entertain them. And I know none of us see ourselves as a performer. We would all say, oh, no, I'm not a performer. But the end result is, are you reproducing yourself? Are there kids who can do what you can do? After all, that's what it's all about. And there's examples in Scripture. And I'm going to kind of go quickly here. But do you realize that Samuel was serving the Lord before he was saved? You know, when it, that great story where he heard the voice of the Lord and he kept running to Eli and he'd say, I didn't say anything, go back to bed. And he runs back to Eli. Oh, you called me. No, go back to bed. You're hearing things. And finally he realizes it's God. Do you realize that he was not saved or he did not have a relationship with God yet? We know that because in Samuel 3 it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him when he said, speak the Lord. Your servant is listening. He was already a servant of the Lord, but he did not yet know the Lord. So kids, I mean, you have to be Christians to serve on your kids' crew. I've had kids come to Christ in the process of serving a church. I don't have this prerequisite that they be a good kid or a Christian kid. Early this morning, if you're in my discipline workshop, I put the quote-unquote bad kids on my crew, and they transform in the course of that year. What about 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 13? Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers. I tell my kids, crew, your job is to actually set an example to grown-ups of how they ought to be in the church, in faith and love and hope and in speech and in purity. Grown-ups will look at you and be put to shame. You know, when you're walking down the hall and you see trash and you stoop and pick it up and walk it to a trash can and they go, wow, I walked right past that. And this is God's house. So you train them to set an example. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. And that was to a young person. And you know, all our Bible story pictures of the disciples, they're all these 40-year-old men. Do you realize they weren't 40-year-old men? They were preteens. Because at the age of 12, Jewish men, Jewish boys, had to choose a rabbi to follow. And if you track the age at which they died, if they'd been 40-year-old men when they chose to follow Jesus, they all would have been over 100 years old when they died. They were teenagers. And that's why, I'm going to sit next to Jesus. No, I'm going to sit at Jesus' right hand. No, I'm going to sit at Jesus' right hand. And then the mother comes in. Which of my sons are going to sit at your right hand? This is teenagers' stuff. The stuff that the disciples worried about. It was petty little preteen stuff, worrying about whether they're going to sit at Jesus' right hand or left hand. 40-year-old men are kind of over that. Jesus was working with young people and leading young people into service. How about in Psalms? Where it says, since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. All right, there's lots of benefits. It makes disciples, acknowledges where they're at, it gives them purpose and mission, provides kids a group identity. Kids need that, all right? That's why I'm big into the T-shirt, the hat, things that give them kind of that identity. It shows younger kids a model. You know, I call it acknowledging the ego. You know that age where they don't want to do the songs, they don't want to do the motions because they're too cool, right? Well, you're able to go to that fifth grade, sixth grade boy and say, all right, I'm going to let you know a little secret. I don't really sing these songs either. You know, when I'm driving in my car, do you think I'm singing, you know, fruit of spirits, not bananas? No. All right, I got Newsboys cranking. But we sing these songs because this is stuff to teach things about God to the younger children. So if you're back there being too cool and rolling your eyes and refusing to do the motions, the big kids, they don't look up to me. They look up to you because I'm ancient. And so they're not thinking they want to be like me someday. They're thinking they want to be like you someday. So I need you to be the one that sets an example of how to sing and how to do the motions and everything. And so putting them on a crew gives them an excuse to do the motions and sing the songs. Because the truth is they do like the songs and they do enjoy them, but they need an excuse to do it so they can maintain their coolness, that they're too cool for the songs, even though they're not. So when you put them on the crew, now they have an excuse to sing the songs because they're on the crew. So once you, I call it honoring the ego. So once you give them an excuse to do the songs, now they'll do them with motions, they'll do air guitar, they'll just have a blast doing it, and then the little kids look up to them and think they're so cool. And so it gives them an identity, shows younger kids a model, plus it gives you lots of help. I train my crew, but on Sundays, I'm there to minister and pastor. And so I should not have to pick up a piece of trash, fold a chair, put anything away. And it's not that any of that's beneath me, because they see me do it. I mean, I've cleaned up, throw up, and I've done everything. But it's a matter of a stewardship of my time. I want to be able to listen to the kid whose grandma died or their dog is sick or, you know, they've got a big test this week. So I sit on the stage. And the kids line up after church. They want to talk to me. They they line up, you know, like you do after a keynote session for a bigwig speaker like Phil Vischer or something. I'm the Phil Vischer of my little church, you know, and they want to talk to me after church. I can't be running around doing administrative stuff. So the kids see themselves as servants, freeing me up to be able to pastor the little kids. And they'll get their time with me at our rehearsals and pizza parties and laser tags and overnighters and stuff that I do to, they get bonus time with me. So they're working. And so it gives me tons of help. So I'm not setting up and taking down, and they've all got jobs and job descriptions. We got a point system and all that stuff to make it happen smooth. And we make all kinds of fun videos. I got a fun sample here for you. So, yeah, you know, there's a lot of fancy video production, but when you make your own videos, it makes it so much easier. This is one about the Apostle Paul. We did a whole foot series. And those listening on MP3, all you're seeing in the video is my sheep walking.
In the Hall of Shoeboxes.
Well, we're walking out here and talking about champions of the faith. And so this was Paul and running the race well. And each of the kids, each foot. One was timid, one was eager to go.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
She's unprepared, she's wearing sandals.
Oh, what am I gonna do? Oh, these are brand new shoes.
So she's got brand new shoes.
Is that a mud spot?
Oh, I think one's standing backwards, gonna run the wrong direction in life.
I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready.
One foot.
I feel like I'm missing something, but
the one's barefoot. And then the next one here, I just want to give you clips here. We could spend the whole time watching video clips. This is Noah. And so the whole series was called Meet the Feet. So they're on a boat here. And so it just gets them involved. They get to watch the videos, feel they're a part of it. We just went in the preschool room. They all were up on the boat. And the same thing. We just went down the feet. And they each had different lines about Noah and the Ark. And then I had some ape feet. So one of the kids is actually an ape here, as you'll see. Forgive me for going fast, but I want to, one that we'll watch in full. This may be Moses in the Red Sea. If this is it, we'll watch it and show how fun special effects you can do without knowing fancy special effects. Oh, here
come
it is.
My people,
watch the parting
me,
of the Red Sea.
And God will deliver us from the hand of, what's this?
That's a tablecloth on the floor.
It's the Red Sea.
We're never going to make it.
Oh, we're better off in Egypt.
Yeah, at least we wouldn't starve there.
Can you hear it okay?
Here to die.
This luggage is getting so heavy.
Look, it's Pharaoh's army.
Calm down. Listen, my people. Do you think that the God who delivered us from Pharaoh and showed his mighty hand with all those plagues would lead us here and let us down? Watch, is on this very day you see the hand of the Almighty God deliver us even here at the sea. O God of the heavens, show your power this day and deliver us from the hand of Egypt.
So that's our part of the Red Sea. For those of you listening on tape, there's a red tablecloth, the camera's just pointing down on a blue puppet stage, and two people off camera just pulled the red tablecloth apart and added some little sound effect, and the kids walk across, and it's just fun. The simplicity of it is what made the video fun. And I think these are all on my YouTube, so I'm gonna skip through these. But we did five different ones. But anything that the kids can do, you'll let them do. They do setup, they do takedown, they do technology. Our sound booth in our kids' church room rivaled the sanctuary. And it was all from the dads who got pumped about it and started donating stuff. So we ended up having mounted video cameras. They were doing live video editing. The boys were wearing headsets. These little techie boys who may not pay attention, we're doing live camera 3, live camera 2, you know, switching to camera 3. And the videotapes that we had for the kids that were sick and missed church that we could send home later, you know, burn a DVD that I could take to the hospital and say, here's kids' church on Sunday, completely produced by 5th and 6th grade kids. You know, you might be intimidated by that. Don't worry about it. The kids will do it. They're not intimidated by it. You know, we always joke about have a kid program your VCR. Well, that principle is still true today. And they would run all of that. In fact, Toy Box Tales, how many of you guys have heard of Toy Box Tales? All right, these little online videos I make with action figures. That was birthed because of kids and technology. Because at camp one summer, I did a Bible story, the parting of the Red Sea with Moses being Obi-Wan, Darth Vader being Pharaoh, and a bowl of Jello, and they couldn't get across the bowl of Jello, and the spatula came down and parted, and the figures went through. And it went over great. The camp kids loved it. But I was thinking, you know, visually it's such a small thing, and in front of hundreds of kids, you know, it doesn't work. So I was talking to a high school boy, a ninth grader, who'd been on my crew for a couple years, and saying, I love this action figure Bible story teaching, but the problem is it's so small. And visually they can't see it. I can do the voices, and I've got the sense of humor for it. But I said, I wish there was a way that I could play on a little stage with a camera, you know, and wear a mic, but have it projected up on a screen. And he figured it all out, how to run a snake and how to embed the video through the thing. And no one was supposed to ever know about those, by the way. What happened is kids started burning through the VHS tapes to where they weren't viewable to watch them over and over again. So I started putting them on my church website. Kidology people start spying on my church website, downloading them. And 1 week I didn't do one, and Kidology support got over 100 emails going, where's this week's Toy Box Tale? I'm like, no, no, those are not for public consumption. I was so embarrassed. And so we finally gave in, and we made the whole toyboxtales.com, and you can see them. There's over 100 Bible stories and moral stories of action figures, you know, acted out. But that was all birthed because of a kid. In fact, when online videos was rare. In fact, this kid said, well, I can take those VHS tapes, turn them into Windows Media files, and they can be downloads on the church website. I'm like, what does that mean? You know, I'd never heard of that. A kid did that. All right, they can lead worship. They can obviously do puppets and skips. They can help with preparation. They rate a lot of my curriculum. If you go to Kidology and you go to the Kids Church Lesson Zone and my Through the Bible and Kids Church, my kids collaborated on that. I get together with them and I say, you know, here's what I'm teaching. Here's my big idea. What would be a game that would create this emotion? Or what's a game that would have this result? You know, what would be a good object lesson? I teach my kids my object lesson workshop. They learn how to create object lessons, and they learn. Because if I want them to be teachers someday, I got to start teaching them now how to create object lessons, and then I'll have them teach. In shepherding, so many stories of my kids are trained how to greet visitors and how to greet them. I taught them an acronym. It's in Disciple Town called FISH, which is family, interests, school, and hobbies. So that when they meet someone, they know how to talk to them. So they ask about their family. Oh, you got a mom, you got a dad, you got brothers, sisters, you got a dog, you know. What are your favorite subjects in school? Because you don't know what to talk about. I learned that because someone trained me as an adult to find out where someone's from, ask about their family, their recreation, their occupation, and their motivation. And I use that when I meet people. Because after, hi, how are you? I don't want to talk football and weather. Certainly not politics, because, you know, what if they're not the same party as me? Now, you know, it gets awkward or whatever. But that FROM acronym really helps me guide a conversation. Ask about their family, ask about their, you know, what they do for recreation, talk about their job, occupation. And motivations takes more skill, but I get to the heart of who they are, what drives them, what their dreams are, what their core values of their life is. Well, I had to come up with one for kids, and so I came up with the FISH one. And but I teach them that, and I got to tell you that I've had, the girls are especially good with it, of targeting the loner kid, the shy kid who won't come back because they have no friends. Every kid's got a friend. And, you know, the leader who comes up, oh, we're so glad you're here, you know, trying to break them from the clingy parent. They don't want to go from a clingy parent to some strange 40-year-old man. But I tell you what, a really sweet, pretty sixth-grade girl comes up and says, oh, how you doing? I'm so glad you came today. My name's Megan. That's magic. They forget about mom, especially if it's a little second-grade boy. You know? You think they don't like girls? They love fifth-grade girls. And I don't mean that in any bad way. It's just that they're so welcoming, you know, and they're so charming, and they're so sweet. That's welcoming, and that's embracing. And they learn how to shepherd. And they do visitations. They do our birthday card. Our kids all get a birthday packet in the mail. And at our monthly meeting, we see whose birthdays are next month. We make birthday cards. We stuff them with fun stuff. That's all in Kidology, so I won't take time on it. And I'm the welcoming. Show you another fun puppet show. When Fandango came out, no one knew what Fandango was. Do you remember the introduction of Fandango? There was all these Fandango commercials. No one knew what it was. So we came up with Dosango. And no one knew what Dosango was. So
Dosango.
So we for 3 weeks, we had these puppet shows with Dosango. And the kids made their own puppets. And
in my line of work, there's no room for being shaken or stirred. That's why
So anyway, there's three of these, and all different fun. Darth Vader comes out to fight Yoda, and then Chewbacca comes out and says Dosango, and then Yoda forgives Darth Vader, and all these crazy ones. And what it stood for is do, say, and go, where God says, you know, what God wants you to do. So it was, just do, say, and go, what God says. And but we just went all over the church with these dorky looking, you know, fandango looking puppets, and we just jumped on the whole fandango thing, and they love them. They're crazy videos. But when they have a 2-hour workshop, we watch them. And then this one is the So-So Samaritan, and I'm trying to watch our time so we don't just watch videos the whole time. But this was the So-So Samaritan, and the guy that was going to be in a video about a movie of the Good Samaritan. So wish I could fast forward, but when they're embedded, you can't do that. And so different character. He actually does get mugged. And the director, who went off to find somebody, comes back and thinks it's great acting, but he... Because the puppetry's not that great, but when kids make their own stuff, you know, it's not that big a deal, especially when you're just making it on Thursday to show on Sunday, and you're going to use it once or twice. That's why these aren't for sale on Kidology. You'll get all my money back. But kids respond when they see their own thing being used, and you can buy lots of great resources out there, and sometimes I'll alternate between something I bought, you know, so the quality goes up. You know, and then between something that we do ourselves, and but then kids, I'll burn them a DVD, and I'll make a fun menu, and I'll have starring, you know, this puppet by this person, and they'll save that thing for the rest of their life, you know. And I've got kids who have kids now, and that's how old I am, and I show them this video that I was in, and one by one, he thinks he's acting. So one by one, people come by, and it's like the Good Samaritan. They all give different responses, but the kids love it. Now, choosing your crew. I actually do a crew application, and this is all in the Kids Church Cookbook under it's Part 6 on the Kids Crew. I actually have my application in there. A lot of kids, this is the first time they've ever had to actually apply for something in their life. It's an application. They have to get 3 references, one from a parent, one from another spiritual leader, and one from an adult friend. And I've actually had kids who got bad references. I had a boy who got a bad reference from a Sunday school teacher. And it shocked me because I thought he was a great guy, good kid, always well-behaved. And when I went to that teacher, he said, oh, man, he's always clowning around. He's always disruptive and always doing, you know, just having a hard time. And so I went back to Josh, and I said, Josh, I was rather shocked when I got the reference, you know, from Mr. Brandstetter. He's like, oh, because he knew. He said, well, he's not as cool as you. You know, I don't like him like I like you. And I said, And he learned that your behavior over here can impact your opportunities over here. And I said, well, you know, your behavior shouldn't be hinged on how much you like the teacher. Your behavior should hinge on your relationship with Christ. And so I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to hold off your acceptance on the crew for 3 months. And in 3 months, I'm going to give Mr. Rick another reference. And I told Rick this. And I tell you what, how do you think Josh was the next 3 months? Can I help you pass those out, Mr. Rick? Can I do this? Can I do this, Rick? You know, totally, well, he wasn't a different kid. He just became the same kid in Mr. Rick's class as he was in Children's Church, where he wanted to be on the crew. And I've seen kids, when they knew they could be on kids' crew in 6 months, their behavior at home changed. Because I have friends say, your kid is so cooperative. He's so helpful. He has such a great initiative. My kid? And I'll tell the potential crew kids that. Your parents are so shocked. But you know, I'm going to be giving your mom a reference. You know? And these are the qualifications to be on a kids' crew. Yeah, you might want to be keeping your room clean. Things like that. But it really helps. So you look for the bright kids, the talented crew, the helpful, the smart kids, the cooperative kids, plus a few that drive you nuts. That's what I talked about in the discipline workshop, all right? Adult helpers, yes, you still need a few. And I don't always get all of these. It seems like every year God gives me different workers. I've never had the full roster of everyone I'd like. But a secretary helps me. I'm not a detail person, but you need that person that just helps you stay organized. Maybe that's you, but for attendance and all that. I've always had a crew captain. Sometimes that's a kid. Sometimes it's an adult. Sometimes I have a veteran crew kid, but that's just that leader that helps dictate who should be where and when, and so the skits come out, so you're not going, and now the skit! And now the skit! Be right back! You know. You guys, it's time for the skit! You know. You're sticking your head out the door. A welcome team coordinator I've had. Obviously, a tech oversight is great. Parent visitors. You know how you can't get parents to volunteer in Children's Church? Well, don't ask for volunteers. What we did is we had a VIP program, a very important parent. And I told the parents that we're really trying to help our kids learn to honor their parents. So I have parent kids every month submit in 200 words why their parents are worthy of honor, in 200 words or less. And then I select a winner of the most honorable parent. And the parent's prize is that they come to Kids Church to be presented with a VIP ribbon. And based on the parent's willingness, I will have them even come on stage and either open in prayer or close in prayer. And some that are, you know, children's ministry gurus or whatever, I'll have them participate in a skit or an interview if they're a fireman and fits my unit or something. Then I'll actually, you know, rig the drawing, you know, oh, you're a fireman and we're doing a fireman theme, you know, and you happen to be our VIP winner this month, you know. So I don't know, hey, we're doing this fireman unit and you're a fireman. It'd be really cool if you came in, did an interview. No, they got drawn as the VIP winner and we're going to be honoring you on the third week. And then, like, the week before it, oh, since you're already coming to be honored, we're actually doing this fireman unit, you know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, no problem, you know. So it's all marketing. It's all, you know, got to be smart with those parents because their default is no, all right? Is that me? It's my webmaster. All right. Hello, Steve.
Hello. You have 3 seconds?
Actually, I'm teaching a workshop right now. Everybody say hi, Steve. All right, I hope they are too. All right, I'll give you 3 seconds after the workshop.
All right, no problem. Talk to you guys later. Have a great workshop, everyone.
Bye. I usually do that to my wife. If it was anyone else, I would ignore it, but he'll be, like, mad at me later. It'll be great. Because he's a really behind-the-scenes guy, doesn't like any attention or appreciation, but that'll be great. But so anyway, that's great. Or game guys. A couple times I've gotten a couple dads to be my game guys and just totally delegated games. But remember, games have to have a point. Don't just play games to fill time. Your games have to have a teaching point, right? And this workshop's not on that, but that's very important. There's a picture of my kids' crew and our set and ours, our mailman, and giving them identity. Meetings. So how do you plan this stuff? How do you coordinate? All right? We had a monthly meeting after church, and we made it fun. I mean, if we had a crew meeting, kids and family, they couldn't leave on vacation till after the crew meeting. I mean, they love these. Of course, you know, you're not mean and plan at the Sunday beginning of spring break or whatever. But they loved them. And we would order pizza and we'd have pop, but we would actually pray. And I would teach on prayer. We have different topics of prayer. I make prayer cards for my kids. This is part of the shepherding. All the kids in my ministry would fill out prayer cards with their picture, what they like, what's going on in their life, prayer requests, and when we would pass those out, and my kids actually pray for the kids in the ministry, and have we would do secret prayer pals and things like that, where the kids have someone that's doing something for them and doing gifts for them, and it's my kids' crew, but we'll do that, and then we'll do planning. We'll do advanced planning, just like you do in children's ministry. We'll be looking at the calendar, what holidays are coming up, and what things can we do to make Christmas more exciting this year? What can we do to, you know, do with Easter? You know, well, let's put a tomb on the wall. And so it's like my children's ministry leadership team, except they're all in fifth and sixth grade or whatever grade you're using. They do prep work. So on that Sunday, if we're doing a new unit, I'll plan it the week that we told. If we're doing a Handyman Tim theme, then I get all the construction paper, and we're cutting out tools and slapping them up. Or if I'm doing Oriental Trading order, you know, for, you know, you got to order prizes. That's a pain in the neck, right? I'll pass out Oriental Trading catalogs, give them my budget, and let them pick and order all the prizes. I mean, who better to decide whether to get the little punching squeezy thing or whether to get the little sticky finger things? You know, I'm sitting there in my office wasting an hour of my valuable time trying to figure out what dumb cheap prizes to buy for the prize store. Why don't let the fifth and sixth graders decide that? Say, I got $200 that I can spend. If we spend over this, I get free shipping. If I do this coupon, and I get 10 catalogs because you got to pass them out. They're ripping them apart, and they're like, well, if we get this, let's drop that. Let's go, look at it, and let them at it, you know? So do planning. Bring them on board. Let them see the inside of children's ministry. You get to buy prizes? That's cool. I'll take them to the dollar bill store, you know? And I love doing that because I'm like, hey, how much is this? It's a dollar, Pastor Carl. Wow, it's a dollar, too. So I'm like, how much is this, Susan? It's a dollar, Pastor Carl. Everything's a deal. It's like, I even go up to the employees. Hey, how much is this? It's a dollar. Yeah, I'm like, what a coincidence. The last thing was a dollar, you know. But have fun with them. But I do training. I mean, I do discipline training workshops with them on how to interact with kids. I do my puppet workshop, my magic, all the stuff I'll go to a CPC and teach. I teach these kids. You know, why not? You know? And then we do a weekly rehearsal where that's our prep for Sunday. And I used to do Fridays for years. I wish I'd figured out sooner to do it on Thursday, because on Friday we'd come up with all these great ideas and then I had to pull it all together by Sunday. So it was like the last 3 years I was in ministry, I finally started, why don't I do Thursday so I could actually have a work day, you know, to do all the things that we thought of, as I was always doing them on Saturday. But that's just the last rehearsal, the last filming, or whatever, just basically get ready for Sunday. And then I don't know if I put it in here. No, I didn't. I started doing a boot camp in the summer, like the last full week before the school year started. I called it Kids Crew Boot Camp. And that was like almost all day, 4 hours a day with an overnighter on Thursday night into Friday. And that was just for relational bonding, lots of training. And it was just a blast. That way, because I felt like we didn't really all gel and know everything and know each other till like, you know, into October. But when I started doing this boot camp thing, man, we were all like tight and close friends and knew the drill. We did setup, takedown. I would time. And then, all right, let's do it again. Setup, takedown, you know, fold up a chair, put them down, do it with a timer and have prizes. And we'd made tie-dye T-shirts on during the boot camp, but we actually did it right there. And it was a blast. So we did that. Filming at rehearsals, take those RPM CDs, songs that One Way Street has, well, they're creativemen.com now, Creative Ministry Solutions. So this is the song, with Secret Agent Man. And you'll see, this is one of my interns, a college intern that was working with me 1 year. And it's a song about Paul, who's Secret Agent Man. Sacred Agent Man. It's the parody of Secret Agent Man. So you'll see the kids crew, they all got their puppets and preaching in God's name. But they plan it. We wrote out all the lyrics of the song and where we should go around the church to peek out and hide. So he's going around with his Bible tracts, and he never sees the other kids, is the idea. I thought he was going to die when he did this. He jumped on this railing. It's like 20-foot fall. So he's always trying to witness. So these girls are walking down the row, and then he comes out from under the pew and gives them a track. And there's my wife and peeking out over there. So just him preaching, and there's a bunch of funny scenes. Now I went to my office, the puppet spinning around, one of the kids, the puppet of the drum set in the sanctuary. He's blessing all the kids. So it's just this for the whole song. You know, lots of fun. There's some funnier ones. Oh, got dragged into prison. So I dressed up like an army guy and dragged him away. Got in the boat. wouldn't stay afloat. So very simple stuff. But the kids they just totally get into this. And this is the lemonade stand. We did a series of dramas. Just like if you use Disciple Town, there's a drama in there. You can do them live. But when you do it live, a lot of times they say the wrong lines or they mess up or whatever. Well, if you do it at a rehearsal, you can don't have to memorize. You can keep trying it over and over again. Then you can take just the clips that worked and act them out. And if you use iMovie, like on a Mac, I can't tell you what to use on a PC other than get a Mac. Sorry, just kidding. You know, it's not that hard nowadays. And again, if it intimidates you, you just get one of the kids to do it. It's not that hard. So we just act them out, and kids can say their lines. If they totally mess up, you just say, do it again. And it's a lot of fun. So this was our lemonade series. But the crew that eats together stays together. So we would have overnighters. We'd have picnics, you know, because I view them as like Jesus' 12 disciples. They're like my disciples. You know, they're who I'm pouring my life in. Jesus' model was he ministered to the masses, but he poured his life into a few. And so I decided that's going to be my model. I'm going to minister to all the kids. I'm going to love all the kids, but I'm going to pour my life into this kids crew, because they're the ones that I'm going to see the most fruit in, because they're the ones that are going to go out and multiply and do what I do. And I've had so many people later to say, you know what, Andrew, he's a mini Carl, or, you know, Drew, he's a mini Carl. And that's the best compliment I can get. You know, that's not always a good thing. The secret agent guy in that video, he was an intern from Moody, and we dropped him off one weekend back at the campus. And you know what a runt bike is? Those tiny little clown bikes, and they were all the fad for a while. And I gave him a little puppet, and he had speed stacks, and yo-yos were big, and I was big into the yo-yo. I used to wear a yo-yo holster all around CPC, and I could do the yo-yo freestyling, and still can do it, but it's just not the fad. So I drop off this intern. He gets out of my car, and he wanted to borrow one of my runt bikes. Buy everything in pairs so you can do games and things. So I had two runt bikes. And so he wanted to borrow it for the weekend to kind of ride around Moody and, I don't know, impress the girls. But gets out of my car. My wife's with me. And I don't know if you know Moody. They have a beautiful plaza. And he goes riding off on the plaza. He's got speed stacks hanging off one side, the yo-yo holster on the other side. And in his backpack, a puppet head is sticking out. And he's riding off on this bike. And I'm looking at him, and I said to my wife, I'm not so sure I'm a good influence on him. I said, I may be warping this guy for life. You know, maybe I shouldn't have interns. I should just stick to the younger kids. But he's married now, and he's in ministry, and he's doing great. So he must have worked out okay. But all kinds of outings, you know, pizza parties. I would take a mini golfing, bowling, laser tag. We'd do overnights. We'd do a movie night. I'm on the news in my Jedi costume when the Star Wars premiere came out. I get a lot of flack for that because the quote that made the national news was Yoda kicks butt. You know, that's like cussing, you know, when you're a children's pastor. But when I came out and the NBC cameras were there, that was episode 2 when Yoda finally fought, you know, with Count Dooku. And you know, it was really cool. So when they came out and said, how was the movie? First thing, I went, oh, Yoda kicks butt, you know. Well, they end up talking to us about, you know, good, triumphing over evil, and that we were pastors and youth pastors, and we work with kids, how clean the Star Wars movies are, and, you know, we need more movies like that. None of that made the interview. It was just pastors by day, Jedis by night, and my quote, Yoda kicks butt, that made the news. But they showed a clip of me showing all my tickets. I had a whole spread of tickets, and they said, how many tickets is that? And I said, it's $140 in tickets. Well, they also didn't say that was for my whole kids' crew. It looked like I was going to go to the movie, you know, like 20 times. Like, I'm not that big of a Star Wars nerd. But, you know, but we went to the Star Wars movie all dressed up, with lightsabers and everything, and just had a blast. And I took them to One-Way Street seminars and puppet production seminars. And you know, you'd have all these grown-ups like this, and I'd come in with all my kids and get them trained. Time for play earns you time for work. Because we do work really hard. And there's times I say we can't goof off. The next hour, man, we're working hard. You know? We'll play hard later. But we got to work right now. And it's important. Now, how do you keep these kids motivated? All right? Kids need motivation. All right? They need those motivators. So I always had what I called my crew contest. And it's basically a point contest. They could get up to 5 points a week. And this is what my crew captain did, because you know I didn't want to forget or whatever and get some kid mad at me. And it was basically if they wore their crew shirt, that was one. If they were there, they were one. If they were on time, it was one. Then I had up to two bonus ones if they had initiative or went the extra mile. But never if they asked for it. So if a kid did something and said, do I get a point for that? It was automatic no. Because you serve with a servant heart. Points are a reward. They're not a right. And so like one time, like I used to be a Mountain Dew addict. I would drink Mountain Dew all the time. And one time we're at a crew meeting and I said, you know, man, I'm really thirsty. Would someone mind running to the resource room and grabbing me a Mountain Dew? And nobody went. And I was like, oh, wouldn't somebody mind getting me a soda? Because if I run up and go get it, they all have to just wait for me. It's more practical, you know, for one of the kids to go get me a soda. So finally, Andy says, oh, I'll go get you one, Pastor Girl. So, thanks. So he went and got me Mountain Dew, and he came back. I said, thanks, Andy. I appreciate it. Bonus point. We didn't know we'd get a point. I said, well, I didn't know either. I just decided to reward him for giving me a Mountain Dew. Well, that started this thing where, like, every week, you know, as soon as we sat down, they were, like, clamoring over each other, racing to the resource room, and they're coming out, and I'm getting, like, you know, seven Mountain Dews in front of me. I'm like, well, thank you. Who gets the point? I was here first. I was here first. I'm like, nobody gets a point for bringing me my, well, no, you, Andy got a point. Because no one wanted to go, and Andy went. If seven people want to go, then, you know, so, well, it got so crazy that one day I'm, like, doing my gospel presentation. You know, I'm like, it's like serious, you know, I'm just laying down the Lord, the Word. And this kid runs up on stage, hey, Mr. Girl! I'm like, you know. So you got to work with them. That was early in the year. We've also done group contests where we rise and fall as a group. So I vary it. So the next year I'll do something different. And I did where every week I would reward the group up to 100 points based on how we did that day. So if we had a bad week, there was kind of a peer pressure thing. You know, Joel cost us this week, man, because he was late. So if everyone was on time or if we didn't do, you know, and so they kind of gang up on, I'm picking on Joel. But, you know, if, so they kind of worked as a team and they were trying to get that 100. So after church, I'd walk around if I saw a puppet that wasn't put away right or a mic that wasn't put away up. I'd start with 100 and I would dock. So as I walked around, up, -5, up, -5, ah, -5. So they'd be running ahead of me. Straightening, closing, locking, securing, and stuff like that. And you know, I don't think they ever got 100 because I don't ever want to say we're never perfect. But they had some 90 weeks, some 95 weeks, but typically it was anywhere from 50 to 65 was an average week because you wanted to make those high weeks really special, and they worked really hard. So it was a lot of fun. And so there's another group picture of my crew. They were a lot of fun. So, I did mention the boot camp in here, Wednesday to Saturday, overnight or on Friday, train, practice, play, seminars, at the monthly meetings, individually. And I had them even write their own lesson. Once by the end of the year, I would get together and say, if there was one thing that you wanted to teach, what would it be? And they would come up with different things every year. One year they came up with peer pressure. And I said, well, what Bible passage would do? And they came up with Esther. And they came up with this incredible plot that there would be an election in our kids' church, because it was election year in America. And there was it was Darth Vader, our hamster, and who was the third one? Barney the dinosaur. And then this new guy, I got a youth pastor from another town to come in that they didn't know, and he was Victor. And he ran for office. We had an actual election, but we rigged it. Victor won. The hamster actually won. Each gave campaign speeches. I had a recorded Darth Vader speech and a translator for the hamster speech. And our mailman, our big puppetoon guy, the Victor really appreciated how much he helped at the election. And his motto was, we're going to put the kids back in kids' church. Well, what they didn't realize is after he won the election, he had a press conference in the back. We had cameras and a thing and mics, and it was transferred on the screen. It looked like TV. He was evicting all the puppets. And if you saw, we had a big puppet set. And so they couldn't believe that the puppets were being evicted. Well, that's what he meant by put the kids back in Kidstown. Well, Henry, the mailman, is technically a puppet. But he also was appointed as the lieutenant general, or vice mayor. And we made up a title for him. He had to decide whether to tell the mayor he was actually a puppet or keep quiet to save his job and let the puppets be evicted. So the kids came up with this. They created an Esther scenario that fit our kids, Tim. And so we ended up, and I'll show it to you, but we ended up creating a video of this eviction. So we find ways to motivate them with the contest rewards, you know, developing kind of a team atmosphere. We wore crew shirts. They create their own logo every year. The kids design a logo. We have a contest, and the winning kid gets his name on the shirt. Our theme verse is Romans 12:11. You can steal it. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That's our kids' crew theme verse, Romans 12:11. And then they get their name on the front. So I think I have some duplicate stuff here. So anyway, that's where we write our own lesson. And I'm going to skip the first video because of time. But the second one, I think, was, did I just go too fast? Because there were two there, and I was trying to skip the first one. So our youth pastor helped me with this because he's much more advanced than I am. And I'll just give you a couple seconds, and we're going to wrap it up here. And... this is on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/kidologist. If you just go down through it, you'll find this.
The puppets are all leaving. Why are they leaving, you ask? Because the evil new mayor of Kidstown has evicted the puppets. That's right, the beloved puppets. The puppets that the boys and girls love.
And but we made this like it was live. And it goes on. She rambles on and on, what, probably too long. But one of the kids in the crew window said, Pastor Carl, it's on television. I said, it is. And I said, because they know how techie my tech is, I said, can you get it on the screen? And so they like ran a cable into the room and pretended like it was this big ordeal, and they put it up there. So the kids thought this was actually on television, you know. And so many fun things that you can do, and you can find it on my YouTube channel, or maybe I'll link it on the secret page. So make sure I got your email, and I'll make sure you get the goods on that. But we don't have a whole lot of time. Am I out of time, or do we have like 1 minute for questions? My clock keeper's back there. 1 minute. So if you got a doozy of a question, yes. It really kind of sometimes depends on who you have available in your ministry, depending on where your breakdowns are. Well, what I do every year is I keep a couple of veterans, and they all want to be the one that's chosen. But the youth ministry needs those leaders too. And so I really keep some of the cream of the crop so that I have some veterans. And I had a few that stayed all the way on. Like this is my tech guy who stayed. He's now on staff with Kidology, works for Sony. He's a genius. He stayed on all the way through graduation. He was my tech guy. He's probably a millionaire now. The guy's a genius. Designed my broadband card that's plugged into the wall over there for Verizon. Yes. Well, the application process weeds them out, because part of the application process, they've got to turn in a piece of paper. A lot of them won't. They have to get 3 references turned in. I also give them an assignment. I give them a brown bag and a list of things they have to bring in next Sunday. And I'll get all the excuses and everything, but if they can't do that simple thing, they're not going to do stuff for me when they're on my team. And so that helps. Barb? It's in the Kids Church cookbook. Kids Church thing. You can get this on Kidology. If you can't afford this, you just email me and I will give it to you for free. I don't let money keep anybody from resources. If you just want that, email me and I can send it to you. There may be a post on Kidology with just the application as well. Yes? Okay. Yeah. Why don't you post that in the Kidology forum and let's discuss that there, because I can't answer that shortly. I have fought passionately, and there's ways to fight it strategically, because there's a lot of misconceptions about, well, they're combined in the middle school, so let's combine them at church, and the answer is not as easy as that. But that's too deep to answer you quickly. The kids' crew. Just my kids' crew. They attend them all. However, I do have prize parties in the point contest. I'll take the top 2 boys and the top 2 girls, and we'll go to Great America. We'll do a hot air balloon trip. I've done all kinds of crazy things to motivate them to be at the top point winners. But, and I didn't mention this, Then their points are erased, because you always have the excellers who win everything. So once they win that prize trip, their points are stripped, they go to the bottom of the pile. And it will take them a long time to get back to the top. And so that way, kind of the next ones will win, and the next ones will win. Some are so awesome, they're going to keep passing everybody. But it's a way for me to keep the super accelerators from just winning every quarter. That's for everybody. No, that's for everybody. No. No, there's some things that are just socials, and there's some things that are a prize party, you know. But like when we do an overnighter, or we all go out to a movie, you know, those are things. It's like they're my ministry team, you know. I mean, I do the same with my ministry team of adults. We go mini golfing and socialize, and usually when things are at their worst is when I do the most fun with them. Yeah. Usually at the church, the controlled environment. Years ago, when my ministry was smaller, I could do it at my house, but now I won't do that. Usually at the church, because you have a controlled environment. You can have a boys' room and a girls' room and stuff like that. So parents feel safer about that today than they used to. Yes? I currently don't have a crew because I'm full-time with Kidology, but I average between 8 to the most 16. It started to get unmanageable. And when I had big crews, I had to start dividing them into a tech team, a puppet team, and a drama team. But I really liked it when I had one team that got to do different things. The tech crews tended to stay tech crew because they're just the nerdy tech kids. And they don't want to do puppets and drama. They want to be back there and unseen. But the rest of the kids all wanted to do different things. So, hey, the Kidology Forum is where you can keep asking questions. If you want my personal email, come up here and I'll give it to you. But if you're on this clipboard, I will have a means to keep communicating with you. I got to get out of here because I think there's probably another workshop coming. If there isn't, then I'll linger. Okay, then I'll linger. So thank you for coming. Go make disciples of kids. You may.